Lena Live, I'm Lena Mirmont. We are back with our usual program, but with very unusual guests. Dr. Craig Buehler is our guest today, who is probably one of the most outstanding doctor chiropractor in the country. And perhaps I will inject a little presumptuous and saying that probably one of the best in the world. And I hope that that statement will be confirmed by all of us at the end of this program. Dr. Buehler has his own very unique practice in Kaysville, Utah, and he established his own institute, and I should say his own organization, which has to do with a very detailed, extremely comprehensive understanding, treatment, and fixing the most challenging muscle and joint problems. The organization has its own name, and as an abbreviation, it's AMIT. And AMIT stands for Advanced Muscle Integration Technique. And we will go into more details about this with Dr. Buehler's information, clarifications, and some sharings. Dr. Buehler, how are you? Thank you for joining us. Welcome. And I will open up with the general question about history of this fantastic organization which you found.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show. It started, the procedure has a long evolutionary process. It started with two physical therapists, Kendall and Kendall, many years ago, who really popularized manual muscle testing for diagnostic purposes in the physical therapy world. Dr. George Goodhart from Detroit, Michigan, took that work and expanded into what was become the applied kinesiology. And then a Dr. Alan Beardall, who studied with Goodhart, expanded on that. And since then, we've continued to do research and use the technology with the Utah Jazz basketball team for 26 years in the NFL, different teams that I worked with. So we've had an opportunity to challenge this work at the very elite level of athletic performance and dealing with correction of athletic injuries, but more importantly, predicting where injuries will occur. So it's been a lot of integrating of systems that have been out in the alternative field worldwide. And we looked at each of those and said, okay, where do these approaches work and where do they not work? And so we took those pieces and put them in like a puzzle. And when we got all the pieces together, the results were pretty amazing. And we've continued to use those with really neat success over the past 35 years.
It sounds almost like in music when the most complicated form of a fugue consists of number of themes. They do live together, but they are independent. And I believe that you have understanding and feeling of human body almost as a polyphony of it, where all millions parts need to be understood in a separate function, yet physiologically they are so connected. Yep. And I believe that your strength, which goes beyond the knowledge, it supports by your intuition and, needless to say, experience, which allows you to see the potential of the body, because it's not that often when the practitioner of your caliber can predict the injury. I mean, we have enough troubles with the existing injury, but to predict the injury, that is a tremendous accomplishment. Yeah. I will ask you a question. Actually, I will ask two questions. Number one, the predicting of the injury, if we can elaborate on this, is that something relates to incredibly active people like professional athletes and people who are truly living very sport-oriented life? Or question number two, it can be with a, I would say, regular citizen who just wants to use his or her body.
It's for anyone who wants to be active. The way we predict injuries is by evaluating individual muscles in the body for function. So I guess if I back up a little bit, if we look at standard medical diagnostic processes, if you go in with a pain in your joint, they'll do an evaluation. They'll take X-rays, and if there's no pathology found, they'll diagnose you as bursitis, tendonitis, capsulitis. The therapy's always the same: anti-inflammatants and/or pain pills. If it's significant enough, you may be prescribed a series of physical therapy treatments. In this model, we go beyond the diagnosis. We say, okay, you have tendonitis, you've got bursitis, but why do you have that? And in most cases, it's due to the fact that a muscle system has become inhibited neurologically. So let me explain that. What we discovered many years ago is that if a muscle is overloaded beyond its ability to handle the stress, either because of lack of conditioning or because the trauma is too severe, one of two things happen. You either tear the muscle and/or the central nervous system deactivates the muscle to protect it. Once that happens, the muscle will still fire under passive range of motion, but if you put any kind of stress against the muscle, it will give way. That's what muscle testing allows us to define, is does the muscle hold an applied force over time, or does it give way? Now, once that occurs, the central nervous system computes an adaptive strategy by using the muscle next to it. So other muscles take on more load for the muscle that doesn't work properly. The nervous system takes that muscle offline, so to speak, while it heals. But while the muscle system's healing, other muscles are working to take over the load. That becomes your new movement patterns through your nervous system. Well, oftentimes that adapted muscle becomes the next site of injury. So we go from one injury to adaptation to the next injury to adaptation. And before long, we've got an area in the body that's not left much to adapt with. That's when we end up with chronic pain. Now, if you don't have the muscle integrity to support a joint because the muscles have become inhibited, then the next line of defense is that the muscles become hypertonic or tight, because the body has to create stability in that joint. Well, if the muscles are constantly tight, that affects the circulation, it affects lymphatic drainage, and so you create this chronic inflammatory cascade that anytime you stress that area, you get more pain. Well, if the muscles can't support the joint, then the connective tissue in the joint has to take on more supporting role. And it's not designed for that, and so we create this chronic inflammation, chronic instability, and the joint breaks down prematurely. And that's how you can have an 80-year-old knee in a 50-year-old body, is that those systems over time have broken down to the point you have no longer integrity to the muscle system. And then you end up with joint replacement surgery. In this model, what we do is we, by isolating each muscle through a muscle test, we can determine which muscles are working normally and which ones are not. Once we've defined that, I know where your positions of instability are and where you're more prone to injury. And that's the predictability of this system, is that we can show people where they're unstable. Now, what's really interesting is that, especially with elite athletes, I treat a lot of Olympic athletes, and they'll come in they're in great shape, but they've got these chronic problems. And when I go through an evaluation, I'll find key support muscles that it doesn't matter how hard they try, they cannot contract them. And it's painful to them. So it's not about exercising the muscle more. Once that muscle's inhibited, it will not rehab. It'll rehab to a point, but you reach a threshold, and you can't get beyond that. And I'm sure many of your listeners that have gone through any kind of surgery, like a cruciate ligament replacement, have noted they get to a certain point in the rehab, and they just can't get past that next level, which is very frustrating.
We are having... I'm so sorry, I did interrupt you because I thought that you finished your thought, but please continue.
No, I did.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. I was actually divided. Firstly, to thank you for this comprehensive answer because you helped me for answering some additional questions. And because I like to sort of speak hug all your world of activities, I particularly appreciate that you gave this very detailed medical and physiological description. And the reason I wanted to, I thought interrupting you, I just wanted to make sure that our listeners are aware that we have very rare opportunity to have Dr. Greg Buehler as our guest, who has his practice and very noble EMIT organization in Caseville, Utah. And he just mentioned himself that he treats number of celebrity athletes, and I just wanted to mention a few names. Picabo Street is an Olympic gold medalist in the skiing world, and also John Stockton, an NBA All-Star basketball player. And this is just a few to mention. I wanted to be very clear that on your website, you have very well-defined sections where the descriptions, testimonials, and very detailed explanation of your work take place. I will urge everyone to go on this website, whether you're close to Utah or not, but you certainly need to go and to evaluate your own thinking, your own understanding about your own body. And not to take much of a time before my other questions, I wanted to let our listener know that Dr. Buehler is a speaker nationally, internationally. He certainly opens minds in a very different way to people who are among his colleagues, also people who do have injuries. And his preventive medicine, I believe, is extremely valuable because we are all facing tear and wear. And that brings my another question. If we can shift to just regular people, and if you do not mind, Dr. Buehler, I wanted to ask you some basic questions. They might sound too elementary, but I think they're quite important. Our feet are the greatest friends because we walking, and we need to treat our feet with great care. Do you believe and would you suggest some particular insole, certain support for just regular walkers?
Well, you know, we as a culture really mess our feet up because we wear shoes and we walk on concrete. In third world countries, they don't have a lot of foot problems because their feet touch the ground and the biomechanics are balanced and the muscles of the feet are strong. But because we wear shoes and because we're on concrete and hard surfaces, I found that a substance called sorbethane is a great material to put inside a shoe because it absorbs a lot of the stress. I'm not a big proponent of orthotics. They can act as a crutch. They should be a temporary crutch while you balance the feet. But so many Americans have foot problems because they tend to overpronate, which means their arches collapse in on themselves. So many people are told that they have foot pain because they have flat feet. Well, some of the fastest runners in the world have flat feet, so flat feet aren't necessarily the reason people have foot pain. But, you know, we don't really exercise our feet because they're not allowed to in that tight shoe. So the more you can walk barefooted on the ground, the better off you are. But I think there's a time and a place for insoles, and Dr. Scholl's has a lot of products on the market that'll give people a little support in their arches. But I don't prescribe orthotics because I look at that overpronation as the source of pain and ask the question, why do you overpronate? And the answer to that is because the muscles that support the arches that control pronation and supination have failed. They're proprioceptively or neurologically inhibited, much like I explained earlier. The muscle has been overloaded to the point it can no longer contract under load, and so it doesn't work, and so you collapse in every time you weight bear. And that translates up to the knee, which can lead to knee problems, up to the hip and or low back. And that's why so many people find that their knee feels better or their hip or their low back feel better if they wear orthotics. And it's a great crutch, but you wouldn't want to wear crutches the rest of your life. You want to find out why the system is failing and correct that. So you don't need the crutch. But that's how I look at the feet, Lena. And, if people just would roll a golf ball underneath their arches barefooted every day, that helps a lot. You got these rollers that you can roll underneath your arch. Anything to stimulate those nerve fibers that are so important in the small muscles of the feet. We contact the earth with our feet. We control everything from our feet. Once we weight bear, the nerves in the feet translate up to all the muscles in the leg, pelvis, low back, and help us coordinate walking. And those are really important to keep stimulated. And when they break down, then we start having problems with walking gait and end up having more pain.
It's very clear. Briefly to conclude, I like to interject one of my own thought. The shoes became so incredibly poorly made. The trend is the look, but not physiology and not support.
Yes.
So, and I'm thinking in particular when young children who are just forming their bodies are on those shoes, even sneakers became so poorly made. So probably as a minimalistic solution or some improvement, perhaps insole would be advisable. Would you agree with this somewhat partial compromise?
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, people have problems with bunions, and bunions are formed because people overpronate and they wear shoes that are too tight. And so once the inside of that big toe becomes irritated, the bone begins to proliferate or grow because of chronic inflammation, and you end up creating more bone, and the bunions form, callus forms over that, and it's just a downward spiral. So, like you said, shoes are so important that they fit right and they're comfortable. And kids wear their tennis shoes without the shoelaces tied, which is crazy. There's no support, but it's kind of the fashion. It just slip them on and off easy, but that leads to foot problems.
And you just confirmed my another thought. Thank you for making that comment. We will make just a moment of break, and Let's hear a message from our sponsor, Calvary Hospital.
Dear Calvary Hospital, my dad was at the end of his life, suffering from pancreatic cancer. I knew there was only one place that could relieve his pain and ours as well, Calvary Hospital. His wish was to die at home, so it was Calvary Home Hospice that provided Dad with the quality of life he deserved, filled with exceptional comfort and warmth. He passed on with dignity and grace, and we were all there with him. A year later, my mom needed the same Calvary care. And once again, Calvary's expert home hospice staff was there for us. My parents gave me unqualified love their entire lives. There was no better way for me to return this love than with Calvary's care. Yours truly, Deborah DiGregorio.
This is Frank Calamari, president of Calvary Hospital. Our world-renowned hospice program brings our expert end-of-life care right into your home. Call us at 718-518-2465.
Dear Calvary Hospital.
Welcome back to our program. We are having very distinguished guest, Dr. Craig Buehler, who was in the middle of a description, description of our body's function, whether we are professional athletes, whether we just enjoying sport, or we just walker, or just simple human beings. And my last question was regarding the feet. Now I'd like to ask you a question about longevity of our body when it comes indeed to a professional athletes. I'd like to interject a very brief story. My son happened to be a composer for a very famous legendary couple on figure skating. They took two gold Olympics medals, and I would say most fascinating information about them, that they are the longest living figure skaters in the world. Oleg and Ludmila Protopopov. Dr. Buehler, maybe this name tells you something, because they are truly legends. And in this age, they are still skating. In fact, I just spoke with them this morning, and they been in a rush to go to skate. And this helps me to ask you a question about longevity of the body, especially because earlier you mentioned, I believe, 80 years old knee condition in a person who is only 50 years old. I'm witnessing this couple being in skates. They don't have any major injuries. In fact, I don't even hear word injury in their vocabulary. A little maybe overworking parts of the body, like a wrist, because they've been a creator of, I believe, a spiral, and just doing this for over 60 years, perhaps a little feeling in the wrist, but not more than that. So there is a certain, perhaps, secret and some rules which you will tell us about. And I'm particularly very anxious to hear about it, because in today's sports arena, the level of anticipation of this totally inhuman technicality became so cruel, became so overly demanding, that young people unfortunately have to finish their sport activities. I do not even need to give any examples, because that became a regular practice. So I took a little bit longer to answer already perhaps some of the questions by emphasizing how unkind sport world is. But I wanted to ask you a question, how to prevent and how to deal with this very cruel reality of the competitions?
That's a great question. There's so many components to that, Lena. I guess a great example would be John Stockton. John Stockton played in the NBA for 19 years as a point guard. In his prime, he played 39 to 40 minutes a game. The last year of his career, he played an average of 38 minutes per game. Now, he was 41 years old when he retired. He retired not because he was broken down like so many other athletes. He retired because he wanted to spend more time with his family. Now, here he is at 52 years old. He still plays against Gonzaga basketball players and takes them to school. Now, I don't know how many retired NBA players his age can still play at that level. But Stockton took care of his body. One of the stories that he talks about is about he and Karl Malone. Once the season ended, they were right back into the weight room, and he'd be working out in his weight room at home thinking, Carl's working out too, and I've got to stay in shape to keep up with Carl. And Carl was thinking the same thing. And I asked him one time, I said, how come you don't take a break? And he said, Buells, he said, because I know how painful it is to get out of shape and then try to get back into shape. So the key is you never allow your body to get out of shape. And so when you're looking at speed skaters that have skated as long as this couple that you're talking about, I would be willing to bet you that they never had a time in their life where they did not work out and they didn't allow their bodies to get out of shape.
I will jump in, and I said, you couldn't be more right. They never did.
Yes.
It's so true.
And so I think in our culture, we are so deconditioned as a culture in this country that if we do go out and do something physical with our kids, we break down because our bodies aren't conditioned to be able to meet that demand. And once that happens, then you cycle into the things that I explained earlier. But the other thing, too, is nutrition. Nutrition is so important. Now, in most medical circles, they don't believe that taking supplements is of value. And I've talked to medical doctors a lot about this. Their position is you're just producing expensive urine. But in our food supply today, our soils are so depleted, and the way we process food is so bad that we have a major nutritional crisis in this country. And C. Everett Koop, the past Surgeon General of the United States, in a speech years ago that said that 85% of all health problems in America are the direct result of dietary abuses and deficiencies. That means that if we simply changed our lifestyle and improved our nutrition, we could turn 85% of the problems we deal with in our health care around. And so when you're looking at trying to maintain a high level of physical activity to where you can play tennis without pain, you can play well into your 80s, jog, ride your bike, do the things that you love to do, you have to take care of this physical vehicle called the human body. And you cannot just eat regular food. You have to supplement. Our soils are so depleted that they don't have the mineral content that foods used to have. The vitamin content is lower. I remember talking to a farmer in Idaho, and I said, you know, I noticed that they'll reclaim sagebrush land, and they put it in wheat and hay and different things. And I said, do you ever do an assay on the feed that you produce? And he said, yeah, all the time. I said, what did you find? He said, well, when we open up a new field, we find that the nutrient content of the alfalfa or the grain is really, really high, and we get premium dollar for that feed. But each year that we we plant, we find that the nutritional content declines a certain percentage. And I thought back about the farms that we farmed for, you know, many, many years, and we've used synthetic fertilizers. Our food supply doesn't have the same nutrient content that it used to. And so nutrition is so important. Eating organic, eating whole foods, supplementing, regular exercise, and good mental attitude. You know, all those things are important to maintain health and stay active.
I like to again mention that we have very fantastic opportunity to learn about our bodies, injuries, how to handle that. Having our guest, Dr. Craig Buehler, who has his practice and very unique organization, EMIT, which you can certainly find on his website. His practice is in Caseville, Utah. And I'm particularly very thankful because there are so many different approaches, enough confusion, especially in the chiropractor world. We do have some competent people, but we have quite a painful stories. And I must congratulate Dr. Buehler because he knows not only how to treat the problem, he can explain this. His staff, which has a very high level of competence and description, again, you can find on his website, certainly provides a very clear understanding, interpretation, and treatment plan. I urge everyone to go on his website because it's very clear, transparent, how office visit is planned. There are details which will give you excellent preliminary picture and a plan in your head what to expect. There are prices and there is a schedule how the treatment takes place. I wanted to say that this is one of the best websites I personally saw because I felt that I'm already at his clinic, that I already becoming somewhat cyber patient. And Dr. Buehler, if I would not be that far, I certainly will pay the visit just to know myself better. And because I try to stay fairly active, certainly your help in reading of my weaknesses and hopefully some strengths could be so, so helpful. Which brings another question about bicycle. Bicycle is a very popular recreational form of sport, but there are some caution to use bicycles because of a certain pressure for men and even for women, which takes place because the position you're sitting on a bicycle. I'm very interested to hear your interpretation. I know that you are a bicyclist yourself because one time you took my call. I was very, very grateful. You've been during your bicycle trip. So could you comment what's good and what we have to be cautious about biking for too long?
Well, I'm not an expert in the bicycling world, but I do know that it depends on what level that you're going to be competing at and in biking. But there is a common problem with road bikes and the seats. And the seats, the way they fit into the crotch area, they can damage the pudendal nerve. And that can also affect sexual function. And so it's really important that if a person's going to be doing a lot of road biking, that they consult an expert in that field and have the bike fit for their body size, their height, their leg length, and have that seat adjusted to where it fits them. And I mean, there are all kinds of different seats. Mountain bikes, or the seats are a lot different too. But that's probably the most concerning for from my perspective, and people who bike, is just making sure that's it's the right seat, it's positioned right for them, and that the bike is fit to their height and leg length and style of riding.
So let's say if it is recreational, let's say for an hour or couple of hours a day, let's say 2-3 times a week, that should not present a serious problem. Am I speculating too far, or it's reasonable?
Well, if you say 2-3 hours a day, that's a pretty heavy schedule riding a bike. I think what happens for a lot of people is they decide in the spring, okay, I'm going to start riding my bike, and they go out and they push too hard too soon. I think you need to be wise in how you approach your conditioning on a bike. But if for somebody who's well conditioned, I think that regimen is fine. But you know, do you mountain bike or do you road bike? I prefer to ride a mountain bike on the road because the seat's more comfortable for my butt.
Okay, well, that's a very sincere confession.
Yes.
Okay, but I did have a. Frankly, it was a very divided interpretation, and some of my listeners actually posed that question. I'm very grateful. In fact, I have to be grateful to some of my listeners, because once we announced about your program, which actually came a bit later on our website, but it was announced on another site. The question from listeners, one of the question actually was about biking, because that's the most accessible recreational sport. So it's very helpful to have some proportion and some ideas what to look, especially for people who are planning to get a new bike. So I do appreciate your comments on this. I'd like to come back to the nutrition. Unfortunately, you were so right. The food became so incredibly poor in nutrition. And I like to ask you a few questions about homeopathy, which I can tell you are introducing as a part of your practice. But before doing that, we need to have another word. I like to take a moment to hear a message from our sponsor, Calvary Hospital.
Dear Calvary Hospital, James Lee was a true hero. Saving lives was something he always wanted to do, whether as a paratrooper for the 82nd Airborne or as a New York City fireman. They called him Jimmy. I was proud to call him Dad. But when terminal illness ravaged his body, this man's man knew that this was one life that could not be saved, not even by me, an experienced nurse. It just wasn't fair that he had to suffer like this. But then Calvary stepped in. You relieved his enormous pain and not only gave him the peace and comfort he deserved, but you also gave me and my family a chance to enjoy his final days, smiling and laughing, together one last time. How can we ever forget what you mean to us? Yours truly, Colleen Lee.
This is Frank Calamari, president of Calvary Hospital, where life continues. Call us at 718-518-2000. Thank you.
And we're back with our very special guest, as I mentioned earlier, Dr. Craig Buehler. We've just been talking about many different things between physiology, between very detailed understanding of muscle work with some nerves condition, with a treatment, I ask questions about feet and even touch on a bicycle. And I like to know, coming back, like to know about homeopathy. It is a form of very well known way of supplementing vitamins and supplementing our food. Dr. Hahnemann, origin of Germany, created this concept, and he actually founded of homeopathy. And I'd like to hear Dr. Bühler's view on that.
Certainly. Homeopathy is, it's been used in Europe for a long, long time. And in fact, there was a point in medical education where homeopathy was used more than pharmacology. And then over time, for various reasons, homeopathy fell out of favor to the more advanced uses of pharmacology. But it's based on the energetics of substances. And what they found is that if they created a substance, if they took a substance that had a particular symptom to it, if you took a particular herb or you took a certain mineral in a certain dose and it created a symptom, they would make a dilute form of that. And they created this huge formulary of symptoms associated with a specific substance. And then if a person came in and they took a case history and a person had, like they would ask, if you have mucus in the morning, if you do, what color is it? Do you have night sweats? Do you have headaches? You know, where do you feel them? I mean, it got detailed. And then, and this is what they called repertorizing the patient, which could take an hour or more, just to pick out all these symptoms. And then they would go to the Materia Medica, which is a standard reference book for homeopathy, and they would try to match the patient's symptoms with the symptoms caused when you gave someone a high dose of a certain substance. And then they would give the person a very dilute dose of that and watch the reaction. And they would call that approving. And if the symptoms worsened, they knew that was the right remedy for the patient. And then they would give them a dilution of that substance that had been diluted something like 200-400 times, which sounds crazy on the surface, but by the time you get to that dilution, there's nothing left of the substance. What you're dealing with is the energy of that. And that gets into some fairly complex issues that I'm not quite sure about, but I do know in my practice that we use multiple remedies, and we found them quite effective under certain circumstances. And so it's one tool. You can buy remedies at the health food store for colds and flu and such, and a lot of people find value there. Medically, they don't feel that there's much to that field, but it's been used for, a long, long time, and people have found great results. And a nice thing about it is there are no adverse effects to it. People don't die because of reactions to homeopathic. But what's happening in our country, the FDA is making it so difficult for homeopathic manufacturers that a lot of these homeopathic companies from Europe have just said, we're not going to market in America anymore. So I think it's a good tool. It's a safe tool. We use it on kids a lot for earaches or colds or flu. And it stimulates the body to respond in a very specific way. And I don't know that it can get any better than that to work within the framework of the human body and assist it in doing the healing.
And I just like to conclude that little segment we had, that the worst can happen, it will not help. Yeah. And I believe I had pleasure to meet number of people who do practice homeopathy for my son. And I remember one of them said that if it fits, it fits like a glove.
Yes. And the thing of it is, too, Lena, is the argument against homeopathy is it's merely placebo. And my comment to that is, yeah, what if it is just placebo? That's the most powerful therapeutic tool we have in the healing arts.
Absolutely.
And why make it wrong? It's a powerful therapeutic tool.
Yes, absolutely. And because I still, only in the middle of the questions I wanted to ask you, and we are facing second ending part of our program, I just wanted to say that this homeopathy world, as you mentioned, is not very happy in the United States, and particularly I feel it is unfair because drugs are so extremely expensive and because the whole medical care is compromised. So this is the time when indeed homeopathy should jump in, and with this very moderate cost should be so prominent because it does have tremendous potential.
Yep.
So I just wanted to add to it, and that will lead to my next question. However, before that, I wanted to make sure that our listeners are aware that we have Dr. Craig Buehler from his hometown, Caseville, Utah, where he has his practice, which are certainly connected to a human body and to the heart of human body more than anyone in the world, because there is a complete, comprehensive understanding and help to anyone who has a problem, who has a chronic pain, who just had a fresh injury, and can find their second home at the AMIT organization. And AMIT again stands for Advanced Muscle Integration Technique. I like to ask you perhaps a little general conceptual question in terms of the connections. And again, if I may very briefly elaborate and make my own comments. Personally, I'm dealing with an injured pianist. I had the privilege to work with Dorothy Taubman, and she herself was a true genius because she literally saved a number of musicians from surgery and from some painful, unnecessary therapies. I was one of her disciples and learned this approach, and I do not want to call it technique because it's not a technique, it's approach and understanding what's wrong and what's physiologically logical and right. So I like to congratulate you because I understand that you indeed completed the same mission. Some of your patients avoided surgeries, very harsh medicine, and you literally brought them back to life. In fact, reading some of your testimonials are just remarkable because you help people to get rid of the dizziness, headaches. It's a totally comprehensive vision of the body. Now, the question I wanted to ask you about the connections, as I mentioned before, for example, if a person has a pain in a finger, let's say pinky, on the right or left hand, the connection can go to the back or to the shoulder. Can you tell us about those symptoms, which are only the sign of the deeper problem?
Yes, I'd be happy to. The body is so amazing in how it's organized. And there are thousands of reflex points on the outside of the body that reflect internal function. Many of your listeners have probably been to acupuncturists. Acupuncture is a powerful therapeutic and diagnostic tool. It's one tool and it's one system. Chiropractic is a powerful tool. It's one tool. So what I do, part of what I do is chiropractic, but there's so many other things that are integrated into it. There was a Dr. Bennett many years ago who discovered reflex points on the skull. And he treated those and taught seminars around the country. Dr. Chapman discovered there were reflexes on the rib cage. And he would stimulate those to stimulate different organs and glands. And so what we've done is we've pulled the Chapman reflexes and the Bennett reflexes and acupuncture and organ gland reflexes and the attachments of muscles. And all those reflexes have to be stimulated. There are 8 reflexes that relate to a particular muscle. It forms this complete circuitry. So I've had people come in with pain in their elbow. They've been diagnosed as epicondylitis or tennis elbow. They've been to physical therapists. They've been to orthopedists. They've been injected. And they still have pain, and so they wear a brace. We evaluate them, and we find that as we look at all the different muscles that aren't firing properly, and once we start therapy, we define which muscle it has a priority and ready to be treated. Once we start treating it and all these reflexes, we'll find an acupuncture point in the elbow that goes to a muscle in the opposite knee. And when we start stimulating those reflex points, the patient will say, oh my gosh, that's exactly where my elbow's been hurting for a year. Once we reactivate all those reflexes back into the system, the patient gets off the table and they're blown away. The pain in their elbow is gone. Because the acupuncture point related to the muscle that was overloaded and not working was the source of the elbow pain. So you can diagnose it as epicondylitis or tennis elbow, but that's the diagnosis. But the question is why, and what this does is address the why question. It says that pain is an acupuncture point that's acute, and it relates to a muscle in the opposite knee. And once you clear that, the pain goes away. And then what's fascinating about this work is that by the time the patient comes in the next time, the next level displays itself. So they may come in with pain in their opposite shoulder and a pain in their wrist. And they're all related to a specific muscle. And we treat that. It's almost like the body says, thank you very much. Now fix this. So we tend to break down in layers. One problem on top of another on top of another, much like in the layers of an onion. And we accumulate those errors in our bodies. And all the reflexes related to those muscles can become painful. And that's why we consume so many non-steroidal anti-inflammatants is because people are just in pain. Well, there's a reason for the pain. There are reflexes that are acute because the system is overloaded and not working properly. So, you know, pain in the little finger, that can be an acupuncture point to a muscle in the low back. So you get this combination of, I have low back pain, and my finger started hurting the other day. I mean, diagnostically, it's like that doesn't mean anything. But when you start looking more deeply at the body and all these different systems, you start looking at relationships. And all of a sudden, the body starts to translate this amazing bio-languaging system called symptoms into a very practical, usable process. And so that's what reflex points. People want be washing their hair and they'll hit a spot on their scalp that is so painful and they don't remember hitting their head. That's a vascular reflex point to some muscle in our system in the body that's not working properly. So the beauty of this is that there's a difference between optimum function and disease and pathology. And so if you're somewhere in between that area, you're considered healthy until you end up with gallbladder disease and go in for emergency surgery to have your gallbladder removed. How do you go from perfect function to crisis without knowing about it? And the truth is, we do. The body presents those errors long before we develop pathology. and we can translate that language into usable information to be able to predict, say, you know, your gallbladder is under stress, your pancreas is under stress, you need to change your diet. You got to stop eating the Dorito chips and Cheese Whiz and all those ding-dongs because your system can't handle it. You know, and so it really is about getting more in tune with your body by understanding what reflex are and what they do and what the pain means when you have it.
And on this note, Dr. Bühler, only because of the clock has its own body and the message, I need to thank you very profoundly for this gallery of understanding how our body is working, what can be done, and the most important, I will address all our listeners' enthusiasm. Go to the website of Dr. Greg Bühler, which spells Buhler, and open another world. How to treat yourself on a different level, how to prolong your life, and how to feel young at age 80 and over. Dr. Bühler, thank you so much. I hope
thank
we
you.
Will continue our association.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
And that was Lena Life with Final World from Calvary Hospital, which we will express in this piece of music. We will thank our listeners and also to wish you well and hope that your knowledge after today's program will be just as important as other programs we had. Until soon.